Okay, open lines for the next couple hours. We'll open up a special hotline. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Here's a couple other quick stories. Officials cannot explain how they allowed in Indiana a homeless, mentally ill man accused of stealing a soda. He languished in jail for 17 months. His attorney, a court-appointed psychiatrist, the judge all in the case, and jail officials all apparently believe that he had been released a year ago. Can you believe that? A Romanian woman needed medical help after she swallowed her lover's false teeth during a moment of passion. The 38-year-old woman went to the hospital with stomach pains, claiming she had swallowed a foreign object, but without saying what it was. Doctors were surprised when the x-ray showed false teeth in her stomach. Unbelievable. We had done two pilots for the Sci-Fi Television Network, one on ghosts, the other on UFOs. And they loved the show, but they had tabled it for a while. Well, all of a sudden, I got a call last week from some executives, and apparently they are working on plans to run the ghost pilot. And I don't have a date yet for you, but they're putting some finishing touches on doing that. So it's a 30-minute program, and I think you'll like it. I will give you at least a week's notice on when that is going to run because, this is all a ratings-driven ball game. We're lucky enough with this program to have the highest-rated show in the country at night. So if this thing does well on the Sci-Fi Network, well, then we'll be on the air with it. But at least they're really now planning on running the pilot. And they're working on some finishing touches on that. And again, I'll give you at least a week's notice so you can stay at home and watch the program. And hopefully you will enjoy it. But on that day, you can give me your comments on that night on Coast to Coast AM. Now, I got a call from a friend of mine in St. Louis, and she said, "Hey, George, have you ever seen the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose, that 2005 horror thriller?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. I saw the DVD last year, and it was one scary movie, I'll tell you that." So that kind of dawned on me to open up a special hotline tonight for sci-fi and horror films. And I've got the top 10 all-time favorite horror films, and then I've also got the top 10 sci-fi titles. We'll talk about that. But I'm going to open up the hotline for those of you to call in with your favorites, horror and sci-fi, and tell me why. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, by the way. Though Emily Rose was, her name was changed for the movie. It was a fictitious name. It is based on the true story of Annalise Michael, or Michelle, a young German Christian woman who died in 1976. After unsuccessful attempts to cure her from the state of demonic possession, apparently, and it was just an incredible story. Two priests involved in the exorcism on her, true story, as well as her parents, were found guilty of manslaughter resulting from negligence and received sentences generating controversy. The girl's grave is still a place of pilgrimage for many Christians, and that was one scary movie. I do not believe that made, let's see, the top 10 horror films. It did not. So we'll be back in a moment. Open lines. You don't have to talk about your horror films or sci-fi, but again, I'll reserve that number for you for that. 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. There was another one that she called in on today. When she called me, it was Stay Alive, which I have not seen. And that was also based on apparently a true story from a woman from the 17th century. And scary. Everything's scary these days. People love to be frightened. They pay big money to be frightened. So let's go to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
We're doing well, too.
Good. What's on your mind, and where might you be?
All right. I'm calling from Chagrin Falls, and I used to live in Russell Township, Novelty, Ohio.
Okay.
Ever since I was a child, we had a century home, and we had a lot of phenomenon going on with a lot of ghosts. We had a lot of things happening with us. My question right now to the public is, when a ghost is haunting a mansion, a house, or let's say a celebrity, can I put it? Like Punterson Manor House. When there is a ghost coming through, and everybody knows that there's a ghost coming through, why doesn't anybody say, go to the light and be free and be with your family? Why do you keep the ghost enslaved into what they're doing in their normal activities when you know all they want to do is be with their family?
Well, you know, a Ghostbuster will do that, among a lot of things, but that's one of the things that he or she will say to one of these entities, you know, go to the light, go to the light.
Right.
Sometimes it works.
Why don't people do that, though? That was my concern.
Maybe.
You know, because there are a lot of ghosts and spirits that are trapped in this dimension that are not released because they want the commercial gain.
Maybe they don't realize it. Maybe they're frightened and they don't pick it up right away. But I would suggest anybody, if you have a ghost, you at least bring it up a couple times. Maybe it'll work, huh?
Right, but there are a lot of people that are afraid to call, you know, because either they're Christian or embarrassed or, you know, just don't want people to know that, you know, what's going on with their lives. I spent my early childhood from 4 until 14, knowing that we had ghosts. My father had said, oh, it's just, you know, squirrels in the attic and whatever. We actually had the Pony Express coming to our house. We heard the horses coming through the driveway, galloping. We look out the window, there was nothing there. We would hear people walking through our kitchen. The women back then would wear the laced-up boots, and then we'd hear spurs. And my father said, oh, it's just, you know, squirrels in the attic, you know, denial, of course, as a lot of people would say back in the old days. But technically, we had a lot of phenomenon going on. I mean, it was off the charts. And to this day, we sold the house. And I'm sorry to say that it is in the hands of somebody else, and it's still going on. And what I'm saying is I just feel really sorry for the souls that are trapped in that house that have not been given, you know, they're just trapped in this dimension. They're looking for the loved ones. They're trapped. They're doing what they're doing every day in their dimension. They're doing what they're doing. But release them, you know. Tell them that they need to go back to the loved ones, their families. And it's very sad to me that this has to happen.
But do you think a human really has the power to release a spirit or a ghost, or do you think the entity has to do it on their own? That's the big thing. I'm not so sure somebody by just merely who's not trained can simply say, go to the light or I release you. I don't think that's going to work. I really don't. Let's go to the wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norrie. I have a bee story.
A bee story, okay.
A bee story. My name's Christopher. I'm in Conesville, Pennsylvania. That's southeast of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And on Valentine's Day, I found two large bees in my house, and I don't know what type they are, but I think they're the kind that burrow up into wood.
So it's like a wasp type.
No, this is black and yellow. Looks like a bee. It's about an inch long or so. Big wings.
So
makes a lot of noise.
Do they call them wood bees?
Maybe. I don't know much about bees. So I found them in a wooden box, an incense box, and I thought maybe they got there from last fall. And then my second thought was maybe they were trying to get in there. Maybe they are hiding from something. And I don't know, maybe a calamity. The solar radiation has been on my mind for the past couple of years. The sun feels different to me.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? You think they're hiding?
It could be anything. No, I don't think they're hiding. I think they are indeed dying somewhere. They're being decimated by something. Could it be mites, chemicals, or something a little more sinister?
Well, have you ever heard of any relation between bees disappearing and earthquakes or meteor asteroid strikes?
Well, you know what? I've got to ask that to our earthquake expert, Jim Berkland, who is convinced that animals take off during earthquakes. If that's the case, why wouldn't an insect take off?
I don't know. Are bees magnetically driven?
Possibly.
Hmm. Those are my thoughts.
Okay, my friend. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to the sci-fi horror line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. And where might you be calling from?
This is Cracked Egg from the Nighthawk Zone.
Well, what an interesting name you have.
How you doing, George?
Good. You going to tell us how you picked that name up? Or is that too long a story?
I'm not sure you want to know.
Oh, all right. So what is your favorite, sci-fi or horror for you?
Well, both. I have one of both.
All right.
One is that my favorite horror is The House on Haunted Hill.
The original one?
Yes, with Vincent Price.
My father took me to see that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Scared the daylights out of me.
It's awesome.
It is. It's one of my favorites. It is, of course, not on the top 10 list.
No, well.
What scared you about that?
I don't know. I think Vincent Price scared me the most.
Great actor during
his day. Absolutely. So evil. And Edgar Allan Poe stuff, he was absolutely awesome.
You know, he was also great in Edward Scissorhands.
Oh,
or is that
yeah.
Scissorhands?
You're right. Yeah. He was really good in that.
Even though it was a short part.
Well, yeah, but he did an excellent job in the time that he had.
But I remember watching that movie, The House on the Haunted Hill,
uh-huh.
and I'm saying to myself, God, I was just a little kid. My dad would bring me to all these movies. The there was another one. There was a space movie called The Mysterians. You were way too young to know this. But, you know, he'd go to all those, and he'd love that stuff. He's the one who really got me turned on to science fiction.
Great.
But I was scared to death, and I'm there as a little kid saying to myself, Dad, what are you bringing me here for? He turned 84 this week.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
I should fly to Detroit and take him to a horror film. No, I won't do that to him. Okay, what about your sci-fi one? What was your favorite sci-fi?
My favorite sci-fi is The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That is a classic.
Yes, Klaatu Barada Nikto.
That's right. What did that mean?
It was an order for, what's the robot's name?
Gort.
It was an order for Gort not to hurt them, wasn't it?
That is rated number 18 on the all-time sci-fi title list.
Oh, and if you look on Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
you can find a zillion references to what two different movies that Klaatu Barada Nikto was in.
You know, there was a great message behind that movie.
Yeah, I agree.
You think if a UFO landed today, the same thing would happen? It would be encircled by the military, and somebody would take a pot shot at whoever came out of it?
I think it would be
first,
ask questions later.
Yeah, I think they'd do that too. Well, say hi to everybody at the Nighthawk Zone. I mean, that matter of fact, in about 5 or 6 minutes, I'm going to say hello to all the chat rooms, but you've got a jump start on us.
Well, hello to Bad Boy and Luna.
I heard Bad Boy was from a different planet.
I heard that too, and I think you are absolutely right.
He's a hybrid.
He's on the dark side of Mars, I heard.
What you mean, the dark side of the moon?
Well, you're going to have to check with RCH, but I believe that is his origin.
You folks have a great time listening to the show every night, don't you?
We do. We do. We enjoy you, and we enjoy each other.
Well, that's great. All right, you take care.
You too.
All right. Isn't that great? You listen to the program. You're on your computer, as the Streamlink members do as well, and you just have a great time. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Well, I'll mention the chat rooms in just a moment. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
I had a question to pose. I was wondering as to, were there any popular beliefs as to the cause of demonic possession?
Popular beliefs into the cause of demonic possession. Well, yeah, but, you know, there's a range of them. One includes, of course, the devil has taken over. The individual is weak, lets its guard down either by, let's say, abusing themselves, maybe alcohol or something like that, and that these evil demons are constantly looking to take over human bodies all the time.
Yes, sir. I was thinking that also, but from what I heard of the Emily Rose story, I heard she was a pretty strong, you know, Christian or Catholic or whatever.
Well, in some cases, I think evil would intensify to do whatever it can to take over the body of someone who is such a strong religious person.
Right.
And they got her for some reason. You know, every once in a while you put your guard down. And when you do, that's when they take over. I think that's what happened to her.
I also believe, you know, as human beings, we go through life pretty much trying to defend ourselves from everything like sickness, disease, each other. And when it comes to something that you can't really combat by conventional means, I think that's why a lot of us are really, or I know I am, pretty, you know, fascinated by the supernatural as far as ghosts are concerned.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. Okay, appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our next wildcard line. Hello there, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George. My name is Mike. I'm from Kalamazoo.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I'm living with a family who is related to Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, really? In what way are they related? How closely?
Well, cousins. They came to find out that they were related to him after he was executed, or supposedly executed.
What did they say about this?
Well, they say that they believe that he didn't do this or have anything to do with it, that he was set up.
Really?
Yeah. And they just don't really like talking about him because their youngest daughter is really the one who's really related.
Okay. Well, see, I think he was part of it in some form or fashion.
That's what I think, too.
But they do think he was set up, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They say anything else about who they think might be doing it?
Well, they think that Terry Nichols had everything to do with it and that he was just lying through his teeth.
Okay, which is that possibility if I ever get that chance to go and interview Nichols.
Yeah,
he could be lying.
I heard your show on that and the guy that mentioned about that, and I'm kind of wondering with that, you know, how he's talking about the guy in prison that was tortured about that, is if, you know, there might be some danger of me being with this family. You know, I don't know if any agents have been going after relatives of the family or anyone related to them.
A good question. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, because I was kind of wondering about that, because if that is so, I definitely want to get out of here ASAP.
I don't blame you. Mike, thanks for the call out there in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Next up, let's go to our sci-fi horror line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Noy. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great. I've been listening to you for a long time. First time I ever called, and I love you. Oh, I follow you righteously.
Well, what got you to call tonight?
It's got to be the scariest movie I ever saw, and it had to be Land of a Thousand Corpses with Rob Zombie and his daughter.
Land of a Thousand Corpses. You know what? Yes. I don't think I have seen that one.
It's weird.
What's so scary about it?
Oh, they go around cutting up people, shooting people, and they're crazy.
They are not on my top 10 horror list. Is it a pretty good budget film, or is it a low budget?
It might be a cheapo. And it's Rob Zombie on White.
That's his name?
You know Rob Zombie. Yeah, Rob Zombie plays in it.
Rob Zombie?
Yes.
Does he play a zombie?
Well, no, he's really weird. I mean, he does a real good acting job. They all do. And one guy,
I've heard his dad,
he dresses up like a clown.
Oh, great. That's all we need.
Yeah, I hate clowns.
House,
it did it.
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yes.
And give me the overall about what it was all about.
This family, like they're kind of like messing around with each other, freaky with each other. And they also kidnap these folks. And they torture them, and they kill them, and they got the sheriff when he walked into the store, and you can't escape because it's a relative that's going to pick you up and bring you right back out there and let them torture you some more.
All right, interesting. You would like that. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Where did that half hour go? I'll be back. Well, as promised, it's time to say hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations, wherever you may be in North America. Nothing like having that great old radio station, whether in your car or at home, sitting back and just relaxing and enjoying. Thank you to all of you. StreamLink members, of course, dear to my heart, Coast Riders that you are when you do your chat. And don't forget, the second Tuesday of every month, I will be on to chat with you, except in March, we're going to move it by a day or two, because Lex is on assignment. But I'll give you full notice on that. Those of you who listen to XM, hi, good to have you as part of the family as well. Then the various chat rooms all around the country, the ones that I call the fun, positive ones. These are my favorites. Imaginative Worlds, the NighthawkZone.com folks. You just heard, of course, one of their members call in last half hour. They do just a superb job of just having fun and critiquing, shooting quick ideas and fast blasts about the program while we're on the air. The Frog Forum, Into Infinity, Sorcery IRC, the National Radio. There's so many. They just keep growing and growing. We have a rule now that you must have at least 10,000 members before we will mention you on the air. I'm only kidding. So just send them along to Lex, and he'll forward them to me, those of you who form brand new chat rooms, new websites, Paranormal News, and folks like that. Just keep sending you information because, look, we do not have a lock on all of this, and those of you might need publicity, and we're more than willing to help you out and to get you started in whatever enterprise that you might be in. Be that as it may, too, by the way, I want to tell you a quick story. A couple months ago, Tom and I were out to dinner, and we ran into John Walsh, great guy, and he's going to be on the program as soon as he comes back to Los Angeles during one of our first hour shows. You know, I like to mix that up every once in a while. But I just had an idea yesterday, and I told Tom to work on it, and I think we're going to do that. But our website gets millions of hits a week. I'm talking about millions of hits a week, and it's loaded with information. It's got some small ads on it, but by and large, it's got a lot of space to do a lot of things. And what we're going to do, and I've tasked Tom with this, is to work something out with John Walsh to once a week put a missing child that has disappeared in this country, that person's picture up on our website, with the hopes that maybe one of the millions of you might spot this person and help out and get this information to the right party or the right police, because it's worth it. And if we have millions of people who scan this website each and every day, we might as well take advantage of it. And let me tell you, that website is big enough to be able to do something like that. So I'm going to have Tom work that out with John Walsh, and we will do that as soon as that's feasible. And in the meantime, I shall be back in a moment. We'll continue with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. I was talking with my operations guy, Dan, here, and I said, I've heard the name Rob Zombie, Danny, but why don't I know him? And he said, because you're over 40. I guess he's a musician. He plays in his own rock band or something like that. Let's go east to the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, fine. I have a science fiction, two science fiction movies
favorites
for you.
Favorites, all right.
There are 50 B-movies, and I just love them so much because they don't get much airplay now. The first one is The Lost Missile.
The Lost Missile. Okay, now you got to tell me about this while I peruse my list here, because I don't think it's going to be
on there. Oh, no, it won't be on there. It's a black-and-white movie. It's about a missile comes into Earth. It's an alien spacecraft, and its orbit, it gets locked in the orbit on the Earth, and it's only 5 miles high, but it's a nuclear-powered missile, and it's peeling the Earth like an orange and destroying everything in its wake.
Oh, my God.
And the Earth has to stop it.
Who sent it? Do we know?
Oh, no. That's the whole thing of the movie. It's just a mysterious missile that it was, like, out of control, and it might have alien life on it, or life forms, but
It's a disaster.
Right. It gets locked in the orbit, you know, just cruising along.
Who came up with that one?
It's just a 50s B movie.
Huh.
It really impressed me.
Who starred in this movie?
Oh, there's no name stars in these. These are just, but they were, just for the 50s, like.
Wait, nobody we would know today?
There might be somebody in there that made it big, but neither one of these, I'm pretty sure, have any nameable stars in them.
Okay, The Lost Missile.
And the
second, what was the other one?
Before the other one, I'd like to thank you publicly for encouraging me with my research when I called you earlier.
Oh, what did I do?
You just gave me a little push to continue. I had three things I wanted the American public to know: that common car can get up to 80 miles to the gallon on straight gasoline. A common car can be converted to run on water, and the U.S. could extend its fuel supply by mixing it with 50% water.
How are you doing on your work?
Oh, there's always more stuff to find. And see, all of these facts need, the American public needs to understand these things when the president comes forward like he did today and say, Americans conserve fuel. Now, see, A21, which is a 50% water, 50% fuel mix, has been approved by the U.S. EPA for sale as a primary fuel. It can be sold at the pumps, at the gas pumps. But now, don't get confused. Rudolf Gunderman, who invented it, A21, it can't be used directly in a common road vehicle. Now, it would require a slight modification.
Right, absolutely.
But there is a pre-existing technology that would use even less gasoline and an equal amount of water that could be used in today's car. It's been around since, and see, like even these water conversions, I have documentation on all of these things, on each of these facts I've just said. Like I say, A21 was approved by the U.S. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Department of Energy.
So it's coming this way, isn't it?
Well, we can only hope. And like you, they talked to you about the generator running off of water.
Yeah. Which I haven't seen yet.
You won't see it because, see, that has been around since the 30s also. But people just don't know about it.
So you're saying that exists? It's out there.
I'm telling you that the easiest one for an individual to do, which is the only way you'll get this, you'll never buy it. You talk about the dead scientists. There's a pile of dead people to do with this that stacks up toward the Empire State Building.
I wouldn't doubt it.
The easiest one for people to do is to convert a common vehicle to get increased gas mileage. Because, see, if you convert your car to run on hydrogen or something, you really can't run it on the streets because there's laws to prevent it. But if it's not an emissions-controlled vehicle, you could convert it to a higher mileage vehicle. You could the one I like, and see, to improve fuel mileage, what you do, there's many different roads lead to Rome, but what you want to do, one way is to modify the fuel itself, and you can do that through ultrasonics, electromagnetic, electrostatic fields, radiation, and ionization.
Let me tell you, it's going to be a big field when a company starts to do this, and there's your next huge service industry in this country. People who are smart enough to modify engines to work on things like that. That's going to be huge. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. West of the Rockies, it's your turn. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
This is Melissa from Northern California. And I've been really intrigued recently on a show that you had regarding the voyage to our hollow Earth.
Yes.
I went on the website today, Steve Curry's website, and it said that he had passed recently. Do you know anything regarding that?
There was a fellow by the name of Phil Schneider. He died.
Okay.
And the other individual may have passed on.
Yeah, because I was like, well, I'm going to go on that website because it was such an intriguing show. And how they were doing the expedition to the North Pole. And it just said that he had prayers go out to the Curry family on the passing of him. So
well, then that's why my guest is heading up the new mission, because they've asked him to.
Oh, okay. And what was his name?
Well,
do you remember, or the website?
I will have it all for you in a second.
And also, I wanted to tell you my favorite horror movie.
Yes.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Classic, best horror movie.
That is not. Let me see if it's on my list.
Not on there?
No, not on this one. But it is a scary one.
It is a scary one. And so the guest that you had on there, that wasn't the Steve Curry. So this is a different guy that's following up with it.
No, he's, I believe they were associated with the same organization.
Oh, right on. Okay, because I was like, oh, no, they're going to cancel the whole thing. And I was really intrigued by, you know, what they could find there.
No, not at all. I'll have the name for you in a second. I just draws a blank.
Yeah.
Help me out here, Tom. Tom's too busy calling his girlfriends. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Okay, I'll get it for you. Next up, let's go to our horror sci-fi line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi, George. I know you've got to have The Exorcist, Psycho, and maybe John Carpenter's Halloween, but I'm sorry. My favorite still is Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1956 with Kevin McCarthy. I mean, you can go longer without food than you can without sleep. And when you see this movie and you see how it drains your emotion, it doesn't necessarily have any, you know, blood and gut stuff to it. It doesn't have any. It just drains your emotion. As far as like science fiction, yeah, come on, Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston, you know, and also Don Coscarelli made a Class B movie called Phantasm in 1980. And I think it was in Men's Health magazine or something. It was like one of the best B movies of all time. But it didn't surprise me. You never get tired of seeing Phantasm. It's like a Greek word for, I think it's a nightmare.
Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes was sci-fi.
Number 31.
What?
Yep.
With Charlton Heston, that one?
Yep.
Oh boy! What about Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Would that be horror or sci-fi?
You know what, George? It's a combo.
That is number 23.
23
for sci-fi.
And then so I just threw out Exorcist, Psycho, and Halloween. Where are they?
Exorcist is number 10 in horror. And Halloween, you can't throw them all out. You can take everybody's guesses. Halloween is number 5.
How about Psycho?
Psycho is not on the list.
Oh, my goodness.
However, that scene should be, because it's one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen.
Well, George, if you ever, ever, ever get to see Kevin McCarthy in the 1956 Invasion of the Body Snatcher, or any of the listeners that know what I'm talking about, once again, you cannot exist without sleep. And that was the premise, how they took you. And when they take you, your emotions are gone. And you know what, George? This is what life is all about. In that movie, it's like the bad guys were trying to explain that we don't have any existence because we don't need it. We don't need love. We don't need feelings. But we do. That's why I'm calling you now.
Here it is. I missed it. Psycho was number 9. On the horror list.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, I had my thumb over it while I was combing through the paper. So
all
there
right.
It is.
Well, George, thanks a lot.
Okay, appreciate you being part. Yeah, you hit them all. Next up, our next wild card line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George, me?
Yeah, you.
I'm from Kauai, Hawaii. I'm in a little flash flood warning here. Lightning and thunder here.
Oh, really? A lot of rain, huh? But that's par for the course out that way around now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I had two stories I thought I'd let you pick. I had a first-person child story or a second-person that involved my father meeting the devil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Give me that.
Okay. This happened in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And there was five people. It was him and his date and his cousin and his date, and there was an extra person. And they ended up getting lost up there. And they're on this road, and they finally came across a house, and they stopped and thought they'd, you know, get some help and everything. And they met this old couple, and they invited them in, and they were telling them that they were devil worshippers, and their last name was Satan, Mr. and Mrs. Satan. That was their last name, and they did this ritual that involved candles and a certain type of record player, and
what happened?
And the devil did appear.
And what did the devil look like?
The devil looked like, my dad said, he was the most handsomest person he ever seen, and he had horns that came out his forehead and went curled all the way around behind his ears, and the point of the horn came out just underneath his the earlobe, like all the way around like that. And he was dark skinned, and he says the most beautiful person he's ever seen. And
most beautiful person he's ever seen.
Yeah, most handsome man he ever seen. It was just like mesmerizing. It was like
capturing people, no doubt. Hey, by the way, Brooks Agnew was the Hollow Earth individual who's going to the North Pole for us. He was our one-hour guest last Friday. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing? It's Chris over from Rancocamonga.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, listen, I have a weird story to tell you. It's about the time when I was actually saw hell. It's kind of ironic how your last call just described Satan. I saw him as a totally different manner. What happened was when I was a freshman in high school, I was messing up, getting a lot of fights, doing a lot of stupid stuff. And there was this one fight where this guy had a baseball bat. He brought it, and I was a football player. I thought I could take him. Well, the guy swung it, whacked me over the head, knocked me out cold. And I actually saw my body on the floor laying there in a pool of blood. And there was this creature who looked at me, and I asked him, I said, am I dead? He says, your time is not up, Chris. He said, come with me. I grabbed on his wings, and we flew. And I don't remember, it was maybe a matter of seconds, but we flew to this location that was actually like a hallway. And there was these two doors in the hallway. He said, now I want you to do something. I want you to pick one of the two doors. So I picked the door to my left. And when I opened up that door, I saw hell. It was extremely muggy. It smelled horrible.
And were there people in there screaming?
There were people in there screaming. But see, here's the weird part about it. The people who were in there screaming seemed like they were actually in the fire. But it seemed like that they were screaming, trying to get out, but they couldn't move. It was tormenting them.
Would you ever want to be sent there when you really die?
Well, here's where it gets even worse. One of my friends, whose name is Aaron, he had killed himself a week before.
Oh, gosh.
When I looked into the pit, I saw my friend Aaron screaming. And when he opened up his mouth, fire came out of his mouth. He turned and looked at me. His eyes were bloodshot red, and he shook his head as in, don't come in here. And then he looked straight up again, and I saw Satan. Now, I can't describe him, and let me tell you why. The only thing that comes to a description of Satan is pure evil.
Well, I'll tell you what, the moral of all of that is be good and don't ever go down there. I'll be back in a moment for the final hour of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.